Hello and welcome to episode 510 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. I'm Alan from Tubin in Germany, and with me, as always, is Adam from Vancouver.
Hello and welcome to episode 510 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubin, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
Oh, you got Vancouver right. She got Vancouver right.
What part did she get wrong?
Tubin.
Oh, the Tubingen or Tubin, Germany or
something?
I think
she just said Tubin.
Like at the mountain. In the wintertime.
Yeah, that's what, you know, it's funny you say that, because I'm reading, my son likes to read a Canada in Words book. It's in English, because he speaks English, can't read or write it, obviously. Not so easy. And so one of the words, they go through a whole bunch of Canadian words, and one of them is toboggan.
Nice.
But I joked that it's almost Tubingen.
Right, sure.
Tubing and toboggan. And it's the same word, essentially, with one less umlaut. That's all. It's the only difference.
Right. I think you should make a shirt, tobogganing and tubinging.
Tubinging, yes. I'm gonna work something out. Yes. We could probably sell that. I don't think that people will know what a toboggan is.
Yeah, probably not. It's a weird word that I think it's Canadian, kind of like toque. Toque is another Canadianism.
Toque was in the book. Toque was in the book as well.
Yeah.
And there's a few words that I'm like, all right, kids, you like, because German, if you're learning to read German, for the most part, you can just sound the words out. There's no tricks, you know, there's no like rough and bow and through, like they're pretty consistent. There's 8 different versions of the word the, which is confusing.
Right.
Which, I'm not even joking, der, die, das, dane, dame, it gets insane. However, in English, you can't really just sound everything out, because you'll come across some words that like just make no sense whatsoever.
Right.
Like, for example, one of the words in the book, poutine. Okay. I'm like, that's not even English. That's not English, though.
Yeah.
It's French for heart attack.
Right.
Right. So... there's that. Another word in the book, Inukshuk.
Okay.
Again. Should I just go grab the book, Adam?
No, we're good. I think we got it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but the rest of them are fine. We've got Stanley Cup, Maple Leaf, Sugar Shack. Sugar Shack, though. Is that a thing? You're from Toronto. You're from Ontario, right?
I've never visited a Sugar Shack. I'm not sure.
But you're a big fan of the Archies.
Yes.
Okay. So... that's a joke for like 3 of our listeners, and
no,
they're all over 65.
Yeah, I feel like more people know that.
Yeah, no, everyone's a huge fan of a band that never actually existed. Did not exist. Nope, not a band. Put out the song. All right.
Thank you to my daughter, though, who recorded that
great,
lovely.
Great job.
Hey, that was unsolicited, too. That was just her saying that she thinks that she knows enough about our podcast. And so, yeah, no script, just off the cuff. She's a mimicker, just like her brother.
Okay, but I'm going to throw this out to her, because she's a creative type as well.
Sure, yeah.
Like, mimicking is one thing. Like, I appreciate a good mimic. Like, okay. when people do impressions, like on the, you watch like the people who do the celebrity impressions.
Yes.
I'm okay with it. Like, I get it. Everyone has a Christopher Walken, ha ha ha. However, when one of those comedians does an impression of that person in an absurd scenario and just owns it, that's my favorite. That's a creative person versus just a mimicker.
Okay. All right.
So I think your daughter is a creative person.
I'm going to let her know. Actually, she's probably going to listen. So, you know, biggest fan number one.
Yeah. Well, what if she does her own podcast? You have the equipment.
Oh, yeah.
Not about photography. It could be about anything. It could be about, what grade is she in?
Eight, which is the grade first year eight. Of high school here, yeah.
Okay.
The high it school podcast.
Why not? I'm going to put this out here. Sarah, I know you're listening. A podcast about entering high school in the time of COVID. What's that like?
Wow. I feel like everybody is kind of waiting for that podcast to come out.
I'll bet you it'll get, she will get more listeners than we do.
Okay.
Do you think I'm kidding?
Wow.
She'll get more listeners in her high school than we have in the world.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's probably true. Yeah.
I'm not joking. We had a guy on the show a long time. Well, I interviewed him. My buddy's brother. Listen, went back. It's probably a year ago. Did the Young Actors Project, Rob Randall. And he started doing that acting class. He's the one who's doing the acting class for high school kids.
Okay.
And as the final project, like they would do like a 25-minute short film that he would film. Because he used to be in the film industry. So he'd film and edit it on his laptop, and he figured, okay, great. Rather than give all the parents a DVD, he was just lazy, didn't want to burn a DVD, right? Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, he's charging all these kids to come to his acting class, and he's giving them a copy of their final project. But he doesn't want to burn DVD, so he just throws it on this thing called YouTube. At the time, it was a thing called YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Here, Grandma and Grandma, you guys can watch this in Kelowna, the end. Well, it blew up. And so he has like 100 million subscribers because everybody wants to see, like, and he gets more viewers than a lot of stuff on Netflix.
Am I supposed to believe that the high school podcast is going to blow up in the same manner?
Automatically? No.
Okay.
However, is there potential? Yes, there is.
Okay, I'll tell.
It doesn't blow up. You have to put the work in. He didn't put the work. He actually fell ass backwards into that. I'll be honest with you. But he makes a lot of money. Like he ended up buying like a very expensive like a high end camera and all this stuff because he does quite well. Now he does these. You know, you can go. Well, he was on the show. Come, you know, listen to his episode. But
so yeah, so he hit it big getting on our show.
Yeah, that he was we were a get for him. But I'm telling you, there is room. I'm gonna cut this part out because I now want to produce this podcast.
Okay.
We're gonna produce this. You think I'm joking. We're producing this podcast.
All right. I can't wait.
Yeah. We'll create a type. That's what's gonna happen. All right, Amazon. If you need a podcast, need podcast equipment. Pick it up on Amazon, probably on Kickstarter. I'll be honest, it's probably on Kickstarter, but other stuff, get it on Amazon. Click through our site, help us out.
Okay.
You buy anything on Amazon recently? You had something coming that you're thinking about buying. You did buy.
I don't remember.
You know Maybe. What I bought? I bought for the weekend. We're supposed to have some friends over this weekend. Told you off the air. They might not come now because somebody might have. In the herd of Corona, I don't know. It could be a thing. We're not sure. I don't have Corona, if that's what you're asking.
Not yet.
Not that I know of. I could have it.
Yeah.
From what I understand, a lot of people don't know they have it. Yeah. So anyways, but not me, but however, there was a, yeah, whatever. Point being, my friends may have to cancel their weekend trip. But on you know what they sell on Amazon? I'm not sure if they do it in Canada, but they definitely do it here in Germany.
I don't know.
Gin.
Okay.
Yeah, you can get gin dropped off at your house.
Just gin, nothing else?
No, it's all Amazon does over here. You go to Amazon, it's like, what kind of gin do you want?
Nice.
I mean, sure, they have Amazon Prime. You can watch the movies, but it's mostly movies about gin.
Right. And no, the card game, too, is also, you get a deck of cards and a bottle of gin.
Yeah, exactly. That's all they have here. It's pretty weird. I was like, okay, but the kind of like, you know, fancy gin that you can't buy at the stores here, and they'll drop it off at your house. Amazon. Nice.
Vodka? Could,
probably. I don't really drink vodka, so.
Only in Russia, probably. The Russian Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazon.ru. They'll drop it off at your house. Anyways, like okay. I said, if you're going to buy some
booze.
Gin.
Yeah, I didn't know booze. I didn't know that was part of it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You can get the tonic as well. Great. All good. All good. All right. What's going on, Adam? What's going on in Vancouver? Say something. Please say something.
Isn't it all the same? I know Thanksgiving here is coming up. For the Americans, it's much later in the year. And I think
it used to be Columbus Day.
As Canadians, our Thanksgiving comes early. So, yeah. Our Thanksgiving is coming this week. And actually, by the time this is published, this will be published on our Thanksgiving.
That was why my Canadian friends were coming down. They live in Germany, and they were going to come down for the weekend. They still might. I'm not sure. Probably not. But we're doing Thanksgiving dinner here. That was the plan, to celebrate Canadian Thanksgiving. Not a turkey or nothing like that. We were going to do cedar plank salmon, of course.
Always, right?
What does Thanksgiving look like at your house? I mean, especially this year, are you going to see your parents? What's going to happen?
No, we're not going to see anybody because we have hockey and stuff. So Jack, my wife and I will be here. Sarah's actually going with her aunt to her grandparents' house for the weekend. So she's actually doing a little road trip without us. So she's going her aunt to celebrate Thanksgiving because she doesn't have the same commitments that Jack has.
They're taking a detour. They're going to Penticton and partying it up.
Maybe they might. So she's going with her aunt kind of, without us, which is kind of, exciting for her to kind of do a weekend away without her parents. So she's going to visit grandma and grandpa with her aunt. And we will be home. And I think for three of us, and Jack's not a huge kind of turkey person, I think Lisa this year, rather than us doing an actual traditional Thanksgiving kind of spread, I think we're cheating the system this year, and we're ordering it from a restaurant where
Arby's.
No, like it's kind of a, I don't know, a local hotel or restaurant or someone who's doing it. Lisa said it to me. I was half listening. So, but we're just basically doing it with all the trimmings, just where you pick it up. You pick it up on the, you say which night you want it. I want to say it's not super expensive. It's not cheap. Maybe it's 25 or 30 bucks a person. And that's the turkey, all the trimmings, the dessert, the whole deal. So you get like I think we're trying to do a combination of be lazy and support some of the local businesses that are probably finding it hard to stay in business right now.
So. Is turkey good, or is it an excuse for stuffing and gravy?
I think that, I mean, I do like turkey because I just straight up turkey sandwich is amazing. Like I've always been a turkey fan, but
dark meat.
I like both, but I take the dark meat first for sure. But no, I think it's both. I think for a lot of people who aren't huge turkey fans, they still like it because you only have it a couple times a year, and it is a lot of the other stuff is good too. So I like it all, but I could just do the turkey all day every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
What about you? Are you just the stuffing and the stuff?
No, we don't actually do the turkey. I haven't had turkey dinner in like 10 years, probably. You know what? The last time I had turkey dinner, I think, was at your in-law's house where your daughter's going this weekend. And that was probably 15 years ago.
Yeah. And they usually do it up big. Like they'll do turkey and ham. They'll have both options.
They'll do turkey, ham, stuffing, gravy. Could not find a vegetable though.
No, they'll do vegetables. Those sweet carrots, the carrots with like
vegetable, but all right.
Carrots not a vegetable?
Not really.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It's a tuber.
Okay.
It's not good. It's not good for you.
Okay. All right. No carrots. I think they might even do, I'm pretty sure, and they do an unhealthy version of it, but what are those little round green kind of Brussels ball sprouts? Things? Yeah, Brussels sprouts, but they'll do that with like bacon and stuff. Yeah,
that's I'm fine with that. I'm good with that.
All right,
I'd prefer that to carrots.
Okay,
health wise, I'm not even joking. All right, that's enough. That's enough.
All right, the veggie podcast. Yeah, maybe Sarah can do that.
We would do
high school / veggie podcast.
We would probably do cabbage rolls if we were having a real Thanksgiving. But all right, hey, good news, Adam.
What?
I mean, good news for me, but not for you. I don't know. I found my half CTO gel.
Oh, yeah. That is good news for you.
I've been missing it for like probably, well, I wouldn't exactly say I've been missing work, Bob, but I've been missing it for like, I don't know, 6 months, a year? I could not find my half CTO gel, which is very upsetting. Found it at the grocery store today. In my back pocket of some pants I haven't worn in, I guess, a year.
Wow, that's exciting. That's like almost like finding a crisp $50 bill.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, 50 euro bill, of course, but that's because I'm over here. So that's exciting. So now I can take proper pictures again without being too orange.
Nice. Wait. I just got, this is like breaking news. Like, I feel like this is like, you know, what they would scroll across the bottom of the screen when there's a big live story breaking. I just got a text from my daughter. She said, I just got picked up. Have a great day. I know that I am going to have a great day because I know that I'm going to be the star of the podcast this week, smiley face.
And the star of her own podcast starting the next week or the week after.
Right.
What are we going to call it?
I don't know. I think we should let the world decide, the universe
decide.
I think we should
use her initials and it should just be called the show.
Wow, that's underwhelming.
Okay, well, hey, I'm just workshopping that.
Okay.
What are we calling that? Grade 8. Just call it Grade 8.
Isn't there a movie?
There's one called 8th Grade, but they call it 8th Grade. Have you seen that show? It's actually a good movie. Very good movie.
Yeah, I've seen it. I saw it, yeah.
Yeah. Did you like it?
It was weird.
The guy who directed it is a weird guy, but he's very funny. I definitely check him out on Netflix. His last comedy special, which is like 4 years ago, he hasn't done one in a while. A guy named Bo Burnham. Check him out. His earlier stuff is a little bit, you can tell it's a little bit unpolished.
Okay.
His last one is it's not a stand-up comedy. I had this argument with Carolla's manager because he was like, no. And I was like, no, trust me, he's awesome. But he's not stand-up. I said, no, he isn't. He's not. But you've never seen anything like it. Check it out. Okay. All right.
Bo Burnham. Yeah.
Bo Burnham. Check him out. I got an email from a listener, Joe, who you know, a longtime submitter for the monthly challenge.
Okay.
And hasn't submitted in a while. I hadn't specifically noticed that he had not submitted in a while.
Oh, no. That's one of our 8 go-to submitters.
That's one of the perennial all-stars.
If we lose Frank, it's over.
Well, no, that's the thing. He still listens to the show, and basically last week we talked about the drop off in numbers, and as I said, I internalize. I don't want to blame anybody else. Everything is, you know, that doesn't work.
Most things are your fault, though, to be clear.
Yeah, I'm a klutz. And so and he said, hey, don't internalize. He said, I was going to submit this week, but I was last minute. I didn't get to it. Blah blah blah. But he said, hey, don't internalize. Him specifically, and he figures he's not alone, is that there is a general COVID malaise going on.
Right.
Like, people, I mean, think about it. It's been going on, 7 months now? Something like that?
So he's saying, basically, let me just kind of, you know, say what you're saying. Blame COVID. That's the takeaway.
Well, I'm not going to blame COVID. I'm still going to internalize. That's me blaming COVID. Let me give you some advice, Adam.
Wait. T-shirt. Yeah. Blame COVID.
No.
Oh, that's a t-shirt right there.
I'm going to, this is some advice. So this is my philosophy in life.
Scratch that. Don't put that part on the podcast. That's $1 million t-shirt right
there.
Yeah,
it's $1 million. Blame COVID. Yeah. Here's my outlook on life. I think you already subscribed to this, so this will not be anything new to you. The cows still need to be milked. I'm not joking.
That's sounds a t-shirt like too. This is the t-shirt podcast.
Yeah. Okay, but like if you're a farmer and you don't feel good that day, you wake up in the morning and you're sick, it doesn't matter. Those cows have to be milked every day.
I would put udders on the t-shirt, like a very close up of the udders, a bucket.
Well, now you're getting a little bit, me too, a little bit. But
sorry, cows.
You're just straying a little bit And so, no, what I'm saying, I'm not even joking. It sounds like I'm kidding, but I say, like, my wife is a firm believer in this now because she has coworkers who let her down or whatever. They're probably not listening. I don't even know. Point being, whenever somebody lets her down, like, she always tries to say to them, hey, like, I don't care. The cows still have to be milked. These kids still need to be taught.
Okay, wait. Yeah. I don't know how they're going to take that if she's saying that to the teachers.
I don't think she says that. I think she paraphrases into something that yeah.
Doesn't have udders.
Yeah, I don't know. The chickens still have to be slaughtered. I don't know. I don't know what she says. I don't know. I don't know how it works. I don't go to school with her. I don't work there.
Okay. All right. I'm glad you're not a teacher.
I'm saying is that, yeah, you can blame COVID all you want, but at the end, those cows still need to be milked.
Right. The more you say it.
No, but if you externalize, if you and I just externalize and say, okay, you know what? Yeah, of course, you know, submissions are down because of COVID. Well, then next week, submissions are still going to be down. It doesn't matter.
Right.
But if we internalize and say, okay, well, what can we do? And by we, I mean me. What can I do to adapt? Like I have to adapt
and start milking. That's what you can do.
I milk every day. Nah, I'm just kidding. I don't even drink milk. I don't know why we're talking about this. But but I understand. But what I'm saying is, I understand that motivation in general is very difficult right now. Like, you know it. Like, you're not typically, sure. You're not motivated to go, I want to go take photos of me watching Netflix for again, you know? I don't. However, I suggest, please go out and do it. Please go take photos of something. Because Joe had said he had a whole bunch of plans. He was going to do all these, take these photos and do a lot of what do you call the work, the Photoshop work he does, the compositing. He's going to do a bunch of compositing. He's the one who composites the cool Christmas cards every year.
Right, yeah.
So he had a whole bunch of composite ideas, but he said his camera is still in the bag from their trip in August, and he hasn't even taken out and hasn't even bothered to load the pictures up yet on his computer. Mm,
yeah, those are dark times, Joe.
You're not alone. So I'm really glad he sent that email because he is not alone. And that's important to know. Like, however, I'm
how many, wait. Let me ask a question. How many cows do you think are in his backyard right now, all full of milk?
Oh, I'm sure the udders are exploding. they are mooing. There's some seriously, like,
get milking, Joe. News. Get milking. Yeah.
Cows got to be milked, man. No, but the cows being milked wasn't directed at our listeners. It was directed at me. Although, no, but it's like blaming COVID is like not milking the cow.
Right. No, I get your analogy. I'm just messing with you.
No. Yeah. Joe's a notorious late milker. That's actually his username on Instagram, late milker. Late milker 217.
Late night milker.
Late night milker. Well, that's a different thing. That's weird. That's a guy who hangs out in Central Park in a bathrobe.
Sorry, Joe.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Great. All right. Anyway, my point being, I'm internalizing. I'm going to try to figure out something what we can do to motivate people. Or I can't motivate people, but I can encourage people to motivate and to go out and whether it's take pictures or do something else.
Don't say it. Yeah.
What?
I thought you were gonna say it again. Encourage people to go out and do what?
No. Not go take photos. Like, I mean, right, we're a photo show. We're not an animal husbandry show. Did we take a weird left? This is the show your daughter should be doing. Animal husbandry with Sarah Schwartz.
Right.
In the COVID. How do you husband animals with COVID? I think that tells itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think there's a
But he also said, but he also added, he's like, yeah, he's like, because where they are, obviously he's in America. And so things are let's just say different there than, from what I understand, than they are here. Like, my kids go to school every day.
Right.
Like a normal school. And so his do not, his are still, they're still being homeschooled like these months later. Joe, I feel for you because I can't imagine. Like my kids need not just to get out of my hair. They need it. Not just me. They need to go and be with their friends and socialize and do all these things. So I understand. I understand what's happening with everybody. And however, I'm still going to figure out how to milk those cows. Okay. Malaise understood.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're pretty clear now. Yeah. It's all clear.
Reminder, monthly challenge. Please do it. Cows. That's what the monthly challenge is.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be a lot of udders this month.
Yeah, it's cheese. Show us some pictures of some cheese. No, the monthly challenge is surprise me. We've left it that far open. Surprise me by showing up. That's what it is. Do it for you.
Surprise me. Yeah.
Don't do it for us. Do it for you.
And a little bit for us.
The headline, the slug line of his email was, Adam doesn't scare me, by the way. I'm not joking. I am not even kidding you.
That's awesome.
I'll have to have a look. It's like, oh, I'm not afraid of Adam. That's the subject line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm super intimidating.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Little bit. All right. Anyways, monthly challenges. Surprise me. Throw that on Instagram. Hashtag Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. Do even better. Do both of those and tag us at Two Hosers. Shoot anything interesting this week?
I took a photo of my daughter. She asked me specifically to take a photo. She wanted to sort of replicate a sort of photo that she saw online or come up with something unique and cool. And I don't have the actual photo she showed me because I wasn't thinking straight.
Was it a famous person or a TikTok person?
I don't think it was either. It was just kind of like, it was just a photo. It looked like it was like a model who kind of had a unique looking pose. And then she tried to do the same pose. It was kind of a square crop shot up close to the face. And she was sort of framing her face. The model was with, like, you know, an arm position that was a little different than you would have thought. And so I hadn't seen a photo. It looked a little bit awkward, but it still looked good. The lighting was good. And then I said, So I said, sure, like, we can try to recreate it. And we did try. And then it just looked so unnatural that we came up with our own. So I can show you what we did. I can't actually show you what the original photo looked like because I don't have it.
Oh, so this is not a replication of that photo?
No, it was our own take on it. It's very different than what we started with. Yeah.
Okay. It's very good. And you know, I'm looking at this except that, well, I mean, I don't know them up close and personal. My guess would be that Instagram influencers are pretty vapid folk. Otherwise, sure. I would say, and your daughter is not. However, I'm like looking at, I'm like, she could be an influencer on Instagram. They make a lot of money.
Yeah, I don't see her doing that, but or my wife or I allowing or wanting her to do
like
that.
Like I said, she's not vapid.
Yeah, but I do like that it's this very simple pose, and the actual because we did a couple of versions of this. So this is just we have that carpet in our downstairs, like an area rug that has kind of a neat pattern. She wanted a black and white photo, which is why I thought, oh, I'm going to use that as the background. And then I just dropped a black background kind of muslin or whatever fabric background in behind her and over the couch just because I wanted it to drop off to black. And then I brought her to the edge of the carpet. And then we used this sort of pose kind of like with her arms framing her face because I thought it would look cool as a square crop. And then it was just the big giant softbox with the studio strobe in it really close. And you can see by the catch lights kind of off to the camera right. And then a reflector bouncing back to from camera left. And so that fill gives you the catch light on her right eye, I guess camera left eye, but right her on her right eye. And it sort of becomes like a side clamshell lighting. And she wanted black and white. I thought about, okay, well then wear a white shirt. We're going to drop the background off to black. And then the pose was kind of her. She came up with that and pulling up her sleeves. I don't know. It just looked cool. Like it's sort of less distracting than when you've got the hands there, you know, really in the frame. And so that part she stole from the photo that we were sort of mimicking, which the model had her hands kind of pulled up in her sleeves like that. So I really liked it. We took probably 25 different photos with a similar composition, and this one by far was the one that we both liked the best. So
no doubt.
Yeah, just simple, and I really like how we have a light in the background creating some rim on the top and her hair, and sort of on her right arm you can see some different light coming in from the back. But overall, like, a pretty simple setup. And then I mean, not to give too much away, but then I thought, oh, I'm going to use a similar setup. I didn't do them on the same day, but then I thought, I'm going to use the same setup when I shoot my kids together. So I used a lot of the same elements.
And does she like it?
She loved it. So she doesn't love a lot of photos of herself. She's very critical of this or that. I think, like most 13-year-old teenagers are, like, they don't, or at least they say they don't. She's sort of, you know, always, oh, I don't love that photo for this or that reason. So right away she's like, oh, I love this photo. So she really liked it as well. And there you go. Pretty simple though. Like, all in, the setup, maybe a 10-minute setup. I don't know how many people have the big, like, the key here for the simplicity is the giant softbox. So you, it's such a big soft light, and then being able to kind of have that is a huge helper, because also being a softbox, I can make it more directional. So it's, you know, in front of her, camera right, and aim down so as to not hit the background. So that softbox is way easier to manipulate in this scenario than an umbrella, which kind of fires that light everywhere. This would be very hard to do. And this is without a grid on that softbox. I don't actually have a grid for the giant one. So to be able to kind of, you know, aim it down and still make it very directional is awesome. So
I've never really cared too much about the grid. I know it exists. I know it does something. I always found the ROI on that to just not be worth it.
Sure. And I do like it on our other softbox that we have, the grid. I do use it just because I do find if I'm trying to keep light off the background, it's helpful for that. That's the only reason that I would use it, is just if I'm trying to really aim that light to and keep a dark background dark. If I don't care about really that drop off, then I don't care about the grid.
I always find that, like, the backgrounds need to be milked.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's probably a good takeaway. Yeah.
It's probably too soon for a callback. I should have saved that for the end of the show.
Never too soon.
Button it in the end.
Yeah. There you go.
Call back mid joke. So my son, the two sport player, football, he's kind of the tubing in Deion Sanders.
Bo Jackson. Yeah.
Playing football and baseball at the same time. Took a helicopter to his game, just like Deion. He had his last home game of the season. We've only had a few games this year, and it's one and only home game. So he got to go out and play. And it was the morning I had to go and shoot that church, the confirmation deal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I shot that, hustled over, missed his first at bat where he struck out, which is okay. I don't mind missing a strikeout. But then at bat number two, he decided he was done striking out. And did not get a hit, but he did smash one. And so I happened to get a shot of him hitting the laser beam to the right side. Kid caught it, unfortunately. I don't know why the kid's breaking my son's heart like that, but looked a lot better than him whiffing at a ball.
Nice. Yeah, it's a good photo. I like it.
Yeah, and that's shot through, like,
the cage, right? It's the shot through the cage. You can see out parts of the cage, but you wouldn't know it unless you have shot photos from behind the cage. I don't think immediately you recognize it. Right away, I knew that it was shot through the cage because you can see it if you're looking for it or if you've taken these photos before. But my first glance, I was like, oh, how'd you get that shot? And then I was like, oh, yeah, it's through the cage.
It's not just the little gray bits that you can see, the little sort of highlights. It kind of messes up the bokeh a little bit too. Like, that's the cage doing that.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like I was a dad. Like, it's up until now, I've just sort of always been out there, you know, helping out. But the full coaching staff was there, so I got to just be a dad and sit in the stands, which was kind of awesome, actually. Got to yell at the umpire, and, you know, after like 9 or 10 beers, it was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I sat there and snapped a few photos, and that was exciting. And then I got a shot of him out in the outfield, hucking a ball in. I mean, well, it looks like he caught it or something. He might have caught this one or pick it up off the ground. Most of them just bounce over his head or go past him.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll work on his fielding. Like we'll work on hitting first. That's what the chicks love, the long ball, really. So chicks dig the long ball. Sorry if I'm getting it right. So they don't care about fielding, but there he is out in the field playing center field. Played center field and first base. So I was pretty proud of the kid.
Nice.
So there's that. And then I shot. I'm not going to post any pictures because it's not my domain to do so. But I did shoot the confirmation in the church.
Okay.
Not bad overall. The church part was fine. Me and the priest got along just fine. I don't think he saw me, or if he did, he didn't let on. I did remain invisible, as I said I would. Even wore a dress shirt with my cutoff shorts, so it worked out fine. And that was not bad. Like when you in the church, you're always kind of balancing, you want to get a good shot, but you don't want to be part of the event. So you're kind of, there's that balance you have to strike. You know what I mean? Like where you position yourself.
Sure.
And so it's like, yeah, I could get a better shot if I was there, but I have to, push the grandma out of the way. And so I don't really want to do that.
Yeah.
But it was a little bit weird. A lot of the different protocol because of the masks and everything like that. And there was sort of a, obviously we're in different times right now, as Joe pointed out to us. And but here was where really the chaos happened. Church was fine, but they were only allowed to bring a couple of people, like parents and maybe grandparents. Like they weren't allowed to bring all their relatives, which is typically what you would do in a situation like this. You'd have an entourage, right? Right. So the church was fine because only a couple people. However, afterwards, they wanted family photos taken and individual photos and, except that's where the family came to. So all the family that couldn't come to the church came to that part, and it was just mayhem. And so just trying to get, hey, what should we use for a background? It's like, I, there's nowhere where there isn't people. Like, people are everywhere here. And so it was pretty, I did the best I could. I ended up getting, I got all the pictures we needed, but it was not the usual art that I was hoping for.
Right.
So we'll see. It's part one. Part two comes this weekend. They had just, obviously part of the whole Corona protocol is to split the kids into two groups. Normally they would all 12 kids or whatever it would be, or 18 or however many they do, would all be at once. But they had to split it up over multiple days just to make room in the church. And so I'll shoot part two coming up this week and we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Still got like in about 2 hours, still end up with all the posed pictures, still end up with about 150 keepers. So they'll be fine.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Photo challenge this week was Portrait of Kids. Now I admit this was sort of selfish of me.
Okay.
Because me and my kids, mostly me, built a custom picture frame for Oma, just because the kids like her, and as do I. But and so we wanted to give her a photo of the kids in the custom picture frame.
Okay.
And this was a good motivation for me to get off it and actually do it this week and get it out the door. So we'll start with me this week for a rare instance.
Okay.
So here we go. I was 100% I was going to go with a white background. Thought I was going to do black and white, but ended up liking the colors better. So stuck with the colors.
Okay. Is this the one that you're going to put in the frame? Is this the...
Correct.
This is the framer. Okay.
Thoughts?
I like it. The color looks good. I know why you probably chose this in color, because the yellow and pink shirts that they're wearing pop. It's good. I like it. It adds to the photo for sure.
They do, and I was surprised because I on import, I converted this to black and white and then said, wait a second, let me just have a quick look, and thought, oh no, like there's no way I'm going to print the black and white on this one, especially because the picture frame itself is pink. Like my daughter she wanted it to be pink.
Okay.
And it's that sort of, what do you call it? Like that shabby chic look, you know what that is?
No.
Where it's like scuffed up. It's like the the chalk paint. The chalk paint. Yeah. But so like you do it and then you paint it black first and then paint the color over top, usually white or whatever it is. In this case it was you want it pink, and then once it dries, you sort of take sandpaper and scuff it up, the black comes through. It looks distressed.
Gotcha.
And then you finish it with a wax cover and wax coating. So nice pink thing, and then this. And so that's it. I mean, other than that, it's your simple white background. Two lights in the background for a nice even white background, and then two lights on them, just side by side clamshell. But not, it doesn't look flat to me with their faces, because I kind of have the lights in close and sort of pointing across them, the lights are pointing at each other essentially, and so therefore, even though it's evenly lit on both sides, which I kind of wanted to do because of the two of them, it doesn't look like it's that flat camera, you know, deer in the headlights look.
Right.
Yeah. I also kind of want my son's hair.
Yeah, he's got pretty good hair.
Yeah. Like awesome. Kids doing Bradley Cooper and I'm doing Anderson. Awesome. Anyway, that's it. And then we took a bunch of pictures and had obviously started with the nice standard pose, and then kind of, you know, joked around with them a little bit and kind of wanted something a little bit sort of candid within that portrait session.
Right.
Which I think we achieved.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good.
All right. Let's have a look at yours. Now, this is you've gone back to the mat or the carpet. Sorry.
Yeah. And again, I had figured, like, only from doing the photo with my daughter, I thought, okay, this can be used as a tandem shot. And I already in my head knew that the last time I took a photo was the one I took of her. So I knew everything was more or less dialed in. So when last night I realized I hadn't done a photo, I thought, hey, I know what I'm doing. Everything's dialed in from camera settings to the power on the softbox or on the strobe. So I just basically went back, did the same setup. Didn't use the bounce. I didn't use the bounce back. I just positioned the softbox a little bit more directly in front, just slightly kind of feathering it across, because again, I didn't want to get the background with it. And then I positioned the back hair light, and because I wanted a little bit of a spray kind of effect on the background, like a little bit of a gradient. I just thought it would look cool. And the end, that's it. I went with one similar to yourself that was kind of like an in-between shot where they were goofing around and I could not get them to actually just kind of cooperate, which was my fear in the first place of doing this photo. Right. But of course, like, I liked it more. They're both doing their typical smiles. Like, my daughter has kind of like the little scrunchy nose kind of smile that's very much how she smiles when she's laughing. And then my son, the big wide open chiclet smile that he does. And so that's what I liked. It was kind of a sort of a more true moment than the other one I put in the alternate, was kind of your standard, just them looking with nice smiles. It's all fine. I just, again, I think
grandma and grandpa are still gonna like that one.
Yeah, grandma, I think mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, everyone would like that standard photo. That was kind of the, in my mind, what we were gonna do. And then I thought, no, I like the kind of more true to their personality smiles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so exactly what I went with. I think one of the things that really, really makes us here is the little lens flare in the top left-hand corner.
Exactly, because I did it with and without, and yeah. I really just, I like it too. I like it. And in color, because of it coming from my daughter's side, it washes the color out a little bit on her, so you get a little bit of flare on her versus him, which is another reason why this worked better in black and white, because you just, you have such a hard time evening it out in color, because the color, the saturation, everything is a little different on her. Whereas in black and white, it's much less noticeable, or at least it is to me. I could play around with the oranges and yellows and reds until I could get it to look less obvious and just more of a kind of a background effect.
It looks like a movie theater kind of look.
Yeah,
like it's got that projector thing back there.
Yeah,
so yeah, no, that definitely makes it. It's funny because if you look at the thumbnail picture, like I'm looking at the picture in whatever preview, whatever the thing it is in on the Apple, and so I see the big picture, but I look at on the left hand side is the much smaller version is the preview, and in that version she looks so much like your wife that I wouldn't be able to tell.
Wow, I think that's a compliment for my wife. She'll be happy.
Sure. And your son also looks like your wife.
Oh, nice.
No.
I don't know if either he or my wife will be happy about that, but he's also got some pretty cool hair. Like, yeah.
I was going to talk to you off air about that, actually. Yeah. A challenge for, not this week because I can't do it, but you're going to have to, well, we'll see. I'll tell you what, I'll mention it during the challenge part then.
Okay.
Okay, I might have to look up a photo for you to replicate for your part of the challenge. All right, topic this week. There's still a topic after all this. Good news, we've already done it, so Adam doesn't have to talk about it.
Yes.
This is from 2 weeks ago. This is part two of my interview with Chris Marquardt, whom you know from Tips from the Top Floor and the Future of Photography podcast, Photo Sensei. We did the Invisible Camera together 10 years ago almost, 9.5 if we're keeping score. All things Chris Marquardt. If here's the thing. I don't know why I'm introducing him. If you know who we are, you know who he is. He's been doing the podcast longer than we have. He's my go-to guy. If there's something I don't know, he's the first guy I bother. Yeah, that's which is I think how he thinks of it, and so I still haven't picked up a camera yet. But we did talk a couple of weeks ago about full frame. Does full frame matter? Does size matter? And without further ado, here's part two of that interview. So APS-C versus quote unquote full frame. Now APS-C can be 1.6 crop, 1.5. We call it in that general area. That's kind of the sweet spot I find. The difference between the two, first of all, you used to shoot full frame, and one of the reasons I asked you is because you have the giant camera background, but you also told me a long time ago you switched over to an APS-C for travel.
So I have my two main workhorses, and I haven't jumped on the mirrorless bandwagon just now because I still like the optical path through the viewfinder. I'm old fashioned like that. So I have two cameras. I have a full frame, and the focal lengths work in a way that with a bigger sensor, it's easier to get wide angle. So you don't need an as small focal length to get good wide angle.
And right.
That's one of the reasons I love my full frame, because I love my 24 millimeter. I love my wide angle. So that makes it easier. I don't have to shell out for a specific, way more expensive lens to cover that. That's the one reason. The other is I have two cameras with me. The other is an APS-C sensor because of the crop factor, because that allows me to get apparently more telephoto, right? So
apparently, yes.
Apparently, so my 300 millimeter lens is like a 460 millimeter lens, or it gives me the angle of view of a 460 millimeter lens, and it also has a faster frame rate because it has a smaller sensor. Uh-huh. It doesn't have to read as many pixels. So if I do, which I don't do a lot, but sometimes I do, if I shoot wildlife, birds in flight, that kind of thing, you want fast bursts. You want to have 20 pictures shot in 2 seconds because you need to increase your chances to get something where that bird looks interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. Now, when it comes to the apparent focal length, I always thought, well, you could always just shoot it on a full frame and then crop it if you wanted to. I bet you can't really tell the difference because the flange distance hasn't changed or anything like that. However, the processing, the camera processing that image is a major, major big deal for me.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And especially when it comes to video. Now, when it comes to video, because obviously my main reason for wanting a mirrorless camera is that I shoot video and I want to be able to then shoot photos. You go the other way. You shoot photo and probably add on video here and there, probably exactly. With your iPhone. But which does a great job by itself.
Honestly, so, yes.
Yeah.
It's, often it's, enough.
What are we even doing here? I don't even know what we're doing. People don't need us anymore. Buy an iPhone, you're fine. Or an Android, whatever. They're all good. People ask me nowadays, oh, yeah, can you recommend a good camera? And my answer is, yeah, all of them. They're all great.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really miss right now.
True. Very true. Very true.
Okay, so how does sensor size, we figured out it affected frame rate and processing speed. How does it affect file size?
Oh, bigger sensors, well, the amount of pixels is pretty much what determines the size and, of course, the way the file is saved. I mean, if you shoot JPEG, you have, of course, a smaller file size than if you shoot RAW. RAW is bigger, mm-hmm. but then there are, depending on the manufacturer, you might have compressed RAWs at different levels that will save some space. But
you don't shoot file that, by size, the way.
No, I don't.
I accidentally shot that on my. I was like, "Oh no, I didn't know I was doing that. Don't do that."
Well, this at the times when my memory cards weren't that big, then I ended up running out of memory and I had to delete a few old ones and reduce the resolution. Go to S RAW or something to at least get a few more shots out of it. But that doesn't really happen with memory cards the size that we use these days. So.
Memory is essentially free. However, that being said, I'm still aware of file size. I don't want to have. I mean, how many do you want to have a server farm at your house? Although you probably do.
I do. No, the thing is, photos. I've since I've started doing video, and you are a video guy, so you know that file sizes are like through the roof. I mean, we're talking. A 1.5 hour video podcast recording at 1080p, like 3 to 4 gigabytes.
Right.
It just happens, you know, it's just there. So you have to deal with that. But for the still photos, file size comes down to basically the amount of pixels and the amount of compression. So there's not a big difference. If your full frame camera has 24 megapixels and your APS-C camera has 24 megapixels, then I would expect the files to be similar in size.
Right. Comes down to megapixels. Okay.
Yeah.
Or pixels and then megapixels. Kilopixels.
Oh, yeah. Let's do kilopixels from now on.
Terapixels if we're doing a throwback. But okay. But what about post-processing now? Like now, is your post-processing different when it comes to full frame or not?
I mean, maybe a tiny little bit in if you really have a difference in noise and you need to compensate for that in post because the smaller sensor. But APS-C, now you don't really see that difference right now.
Okay.
So no, I don't see any serious difference in post processing. Of course, that assumes we have the same amount of pixels. I mean, many full frame cameras that you buy now are in the 40 to 50 megapixels.
Not that I'm buying, no.
Probably not, yeah.
This is actually a sidetrack. When was, what number of pixels was enough? Not for you, for Joe Sixpack.
5 megapixels.
Okay, I was saying 6, and I thought that was high. Six, I thought it was
six,
high.
My first DSLR had 6 megapixels.
So. Right. Yeah, they're great.
And this number is a sliding number. It has changed over the years. Now I look at 24 being totally fine. 18 maybe. But 24, it also depends on the kinds of sensors that you can... That they put in cameras. You won't get a camera under 24 megapixels, probably.
Right, right. Yeah, we joked about that a long time ago, but like I stopped. I was fine with 10. I think the 5D Classic that I bought from you was, I think it's 12. Sounds like 12, maybe.
Yeah, 12.8 or something. Yeah,
something like that. And then my 40D was 10, and then the Mark III is probably 21. The Fuji X100 wins at 24, and that's too high. You don't need it. And so there's a few positives that I see in the APS-C sensor, aside from the fact that everyone, you know, like, so when I first looked at the X-T4, I was like, oh boy, that's, I had my mind made up. And then Canon said, not so fast. We have the R5, R6 coming out. So everybody freak out, which I didn't, because before it was even announced, in my head, all I could think of, well, that's going to be hot. Those are going to, you can't dissipate the heat. It's just not going to happen. No one was talking about it out loud. And then, of course, what happens, it comes out, it's they're way too hot. What they say, yeah, anyways.
But only if you shoot 8K and render it down to 4K in real time, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I need 9K. I want 9K.
Now, you can shoot 4K video permanently without any overheating in that camera.
Is that true? I've heard people say otherwise, but I believe you over them.
No, you have two modes. You have an overcrank mode where the camera, it's not overcranking, it's overshooting. So it uses all the uses the entire sensor and scales it down to 4K in camera. That one will give you just a limited time. But then there's the actual 4K mode that uses every third pixel. I don't know how it does that, but it uses only the pixels it needs from the full sensor.
Okay.
And that you can shoot that as long as you want. And you have a tiny difference in sharpness, because shooting something at a higher resolution, you've seen this with large format. You shoot something at a high resolution and you scale it down, it will look sharper.
Right.
Sharper than if you had shot it at that downscaled resolution from the start.
For sure. I mean, most of the people I'm pointing the camera at are not super attractive anyway, sharpness.
We're not talking anything that's of real significance for everyone out there. Certainly not for me.
No, but the heating. But here's the thing: is there are, when it comes to video and stuff like that, there are advantages that I see. One of them being the overheating, which I was going to buy the R6 just to shoot 1080p. I really don't even care about 4K. I'll be honest with you. Yeah. Speaking of file size, etc. 1080p is really good. However, what about the physical size of the cameras coming out now? Is the APS-C making a difference there? The lenses,
Of course. I mean, the sensor size lens size comes with sensor size, and just look at your smartphone, tiny sensor, tiny lens, and then look at your mirrorless camera and compare the sizes. Bigger sensors need bigger lenses. There's some leeway there, but. I wouldn't want to carry around my medium format camera all the time because it's heavy and it has heavy lenses.
But the chicks dig it, though.
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now another positive that the way I see, and correct me if I'm wrong, with a smaller sensor size, the rolling shutter effect is likely going to be minimal.
Possibly. Possibly. I don't really know. I haven't done... I mean, I'm a still photo guy, so I haven't really done extensive testing on that. But I see reviews on YouTube, and then they zoom in and they wiggle the camera and they go, oh, it's got rolling shutter, and the world's coming to an end.
Okay, battery life then.
I don't see that much of a difference there either. The sensor size isn't dramatically different. So
it's twice.
APS-C to full frame?
If you're doing the square footage.
Is it twice the surface? 5/8
or something. It's 8/5, right? Yeah. If it's 1.6, you're going to do 8/5.
Not quite twice.
Almost twice.
Close enough, okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay, 62.5%.
That's perfect. So I'll quote you on that.
I'm assuming that battery life is going to be better. Although here's the other thing that everyone seems to know. You know, battery life is amazing now.
Battery life comes down to so many other things. I mean, I'm just comparing my DSLR, which only has a screen on when it needs to, and this little shoulder display is an LCD, an old-timey LCD that doesn't need any power virtually. So I shoot like with current state of the batteries, I'll shoot 900 shots with one battery. Mm-hmm. I'll go teach a workshop, and I will not pack a spare battery for that. So like for over a weekend, because I don't need to. While with a mirrorless camera, you always need that LCD or the EVF, and there's like so much more going on. Also computationally, that the battery life, I think, hinges way more on these kind of things than on the sensor being slightly bigger and maybe sipping a bit more of the battery.
Okay, then last comparison between APS-C full frame, flash sync.
Smaller sensor means the curtain can cover that faster. Yeah, sure.
Okay, so that's one positive. There we go. One in the positive column. Oh, the last one,
but
actually.
But you know, I haven't really done the extensive experiments there either. So
I haven't gone wide, but on the cameras that I own, for example, the 5D Mark III does it at 1/200th, whereas the 40D, older technology, does it at 1/250th. So, you know, it's a definite increase.
Stronger spring in there.
Less distance to cover, I would also think.
Yeah, that, well, definitely a factor. But I've taken a shutter apart, and it's really interesting technology because it's not that complicated. It's not that much of a voodoo thing. It's some mechanical curtain, and it's a spring in there, like a physical spring that you cock that, and that a motor does that. That's the sound you hear when the shutter gets cocked. And then at the end, there's an electromagnet that holds it open. And the moment you trip the shutter, that electromagnet lets go and the curtain goes click. And that's like a 200th of a second that it takes to cover the sensor. But if you put a bit of a stronger motor in there and a bit of a stronger spring, then you could very likely make this faster. It just means that the motor that cocks the shutter needs more energy and drains the battery faster, I guess. That would be my thinking there.
Okay, and then the last one is price. Full frame versus APS-C.
Full frame is more expensive because the sensors are more expensive.
Right, exactly. So there's all the factors. So now what it comes down to it, to close out here, if I am going to buy a new camera, if I'm going to jump ship, am I going to get the R6? Am I going to get the X-T4? Am I going to get the Sony full frame? What do you think?
What was the selection?
The Fuji X-T4,
uh-huh,
which is a APS-C size.
Yeah.
However, cheaper, and I kind of like my Fuji X100. It would be nice to have those line up. However, the Canon R6 looks fantastic. And again, this isn't so I can jump on the mirrorless. Like yourself, when I take... I actually find taking pictures with a mirrorless camera, which I can use the EVF in the X100, is one way to go. I prefer the optical as well. As you are, you're not being an old guy. There is something better about taking pictures looking through the eyepiece. However, video wise, shooting a video with a DSLR is a pain. Yeah, so it's great. It is amazing to have that built in. So that's what I want. I want something that can shoot dedicated video and easily flip over to be a still camera as well. So we're looking at X-T4, the R6, because the R5 is just too much camera, and whatever the A7 3S5 from Sony, which is a full frame. So the only one, Fuji is the cheaper one. It's a compact. Is it diminishing returns? What's the jump between the APS-C and the full frame? Is it worth spending extra money?
So if I had to make that decision for myself right now, it would be the Canon.
The R6.
It would be the full frame, the R6. And that, I mean, there's always multiple factors that go into that. One factor is that I have a bunch of lenses that work with it, even though they need an adapter. So I have an investment there. And I also have an investment, and I think this is the even more important investment for me, is I have an investment in muscle memory. Because
yes,
I have spent years with my Canon cameras. I know them in and out, and they don't change. That's one thing I love about Canon, is they do not change everything around between different cameras. They are, at least the similarly spec'd cameras are, very similar when it comes to operation, when it comes to where your fingers go, when it comes to how you navigate the menus and things. And I'm a computer guy, so I can easily adapt to my to whatever. Give me an icon and I'll be fine with it after a couple of days. No problem there. But I have two cameras, and those two cameras, I switch between them all the time when I do some travel shoots. So I usually have both like crossed over left side and right side of me. I have these cameras hanging, and I cannot afford to have to try to figure out how this, how X, Y, and Z works on that camera versus this camera. So I spent time and I set them up so they work virtually exactly the same way.
Same custom menus.
Which means that on one of the cameras, I'm not using the touch screen because the other doesn't have it. So it's a least common denominator thing for me. And with a mirrorless, I would not just be out there with one camera. So I need something that fits into that picture. That's a very Chris Marquardt kind of thing, but...
No, I understand that too. I have my camera set. In fact, I go so far as to have, I no longer use Final Cut Pro because, long story short, but I use the Adobe Premiere. Mm-hmm. They have a feature in there where you can click on it and tell it, hey, make all the shortcuts and everything look like Final Cut Pro.
Sure.
Which I've done because I've spent years of that muscle memory. I can edit without looking at the keyboard.
And again, it's not that I don't want to adapt. It's that if I have two cameras with me, I'd have, with two different sensor sizes, I'd have a hard time going back and forth between those two and mm-hmm. not getting things wrong in some way.
Okay. Hear that, Canon? We might not be breaking up just yet.
So your decision?
It's still. I'm leaning towards the. I've been leaning towards the R6. So this does push me in that direction. I'm going to look at price, functionality. It is leaning that way. The lenses will adapt to both the Fuji and the Canon. I could probably lose a few lenses at this point, which if I keep dropping them, I will. So yeah. Verdict's still out. I will get back to you. Let you know, Chris. Before you go, please plug away. You have the channel. Are you still doing the in person or the virtual mentorship?
I do. Sensei.photo. SENSEI.photo. It's my virtual teaching platform, which wouldn't be there without this virus thing. So okay. you can book a face to face virtual live video session with me about stuff that's on the website. Lots of stuff. I've been teaching photography forever. So sensei.photo.
And makes a great gift, I understand.
Oh, it makes a wonderful gift. I've had lots of people giving photo workshops, tiny little personalized photo workshops to their spouses and friends.
So that's senseiphoto.com. Where can they find the rest of what's going on from the top floor?
It's all linked from there. There's workshops and stuff and podcasts and so on. Click through, click on my name, and then you'll find everything.
All right, we'll put a link up in the show notes. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
And we're back.
Yes.
So there you go. What do you think, Adam? Should I get the camera? Which camera should I get, or should I get a computer first?
Get everything. Buy it all on Amazon.
Yeah, just get it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just pick it up. I'll pick all of it up. Yeah, we'll see. Even though we went through all of that, I'm still not. I don't know. I don't know what I want. I was worried about focus issues with the 5D Mark III, but I shot that last week, the confirmation.
Yeah,
it was inside a church, obviously, and which means F4, not your best friend, even though I ended up kind of shooting a lot at F4, but F4, not your best friend. So there's no way I was shooting with the 70-200, which was great. I shot with the 50 mil lens on that camera and everything was tack sharp. So I know I'm assuming it's not the camera. I think I'm going to take my 70-200 down to my workshop and then just smash it with a hammer.
Okay. All right.
I think it's probably done. I think there's some internal damage that I'm just not going to be able to to compensate for, which is unfortunate, but, as we say in French, so est das Leben. So there you go. However, still considering, a new camera, but it's not as pressing at the moment.
Gotcha.
Challenge. Oh, so definitely check him out at www.ttf. Tips from the top floor. Yeah. .com or chrismarquardt.com, Photo Sensei. Go check him out there. Always great to talk to Chris. Photo challenge for next week. I've got one. It's good. It is one light with an umbrella. That's the challenge.
Okay.
Okay. So not your softbox, specifically, you have an umbrella still, right?
Yeah. I got a few umbrellas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, I had a few. Oh, I'm a pretty big wheel down at the umbrella factory.
Yeah.
They know me by my first name.
Yeah. I have many umbrellas. They're cheap. They're good.
Yeah. Yeah. Always handy to have. So that's it. We're going to do one light and you got to use an umbrella. That's the challenge for next week. Monthly challenges. Surprise me. Hashtag two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers. Even better. Do both of those and tag us at two hosers on Instagram. And, no one's afraid of you, Adam, so we'll talk about that at the end of the month.
Okay.
Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.